Welcome to the Audio Renaissance unabridged presentation of How to Become CEO, the rules for rising to the top of any organization. Written by Jeffrey J. Fox, produced by Tony Hutz. And now here is Jeffrey J. Fox.
Introduction. Why you should listen to this program. If you bought this tape, you are ambitious. If someone gave you the tape, that person thinks you are ambitious. Having ambition to better yourself, to be a contributor, to make a difference, to grow professionally, to be more successful, or to become CEO of an organization is good. CEO is the acronym for Chief Executive Officer. The CEO is the person who has strategic responsibility for the fortune and the future of the organization. The CEO may be called headmistress, managing partner, general of the armies, pontiff, commander-in-chief, queen, or warden. But whatever the title, the CEO is the boss. If becoming the boss is what you want, this program will help. There are oodles of factors that influence the path to CEO. Work habits, luck, timing, competitors, personality, supporters, talent, circumstances, and so on. This program will help you better your work habits, influence the odds, impact timing, surpass competitors, and definitely use your talent. This is an audio tape of advice and recommendations. The ideas are based on the realities of business and organizations. The ideas in this tape are not part of any MBA curriculum. They are crisp, blunt, frank, generally non-judgmental, and easy to listen to, digest, and do. Many of the recommendations are stated in rule or commandment form. This is because what is written is the way it is, not the way it ought to be. Although the content of the tape is intended to help you progress in a company, the observations and advice are often applicable to your non-work life and activities as well. The surest way to become president or CEO of a corporation is to buy a business or to start a business. If you plan to make your career in a large corporation, this tape will help. Of course, if you'd rather run your own business, this tape will also help. The book from which this program is drawn has been skillfully edited by Lori Abkemeyer at Hyperion. She and I are interested in your comments, thoughts, additions, and in any positive examples of your using the guidelines in this program. Write to us care of Hyperion, 114 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York, 10011. Thank you. And now, here's how to become CEO, the rules for rising to the top of any organization. 1. Always take the job that offers the most money. After you've decided what you want to do, whether it is banking, advertising, manufacturing, or something else, go to work for the company that offers you the most money. If you have not decided what kind of career or industry is for you, then take the job that offers the most money. If you are in a corporation, always take the transfer, promotion, or assignment that pays the most money. There are several important reasons why you go for the money. First, all of your benefits, perquisites, bonuses, and subsequent raises will be based on your salary. Corporations give all extra compensation in percentages. Therefore, a 10% raise on a $22,000 salary is $200 better than the same raise on a $20,000 salary. Second, the higher paid you are, the more visible to top management you will be. Third, the more money you are paid, the more contribution will be expected of you. This means you will be given more responsibility, tasks, and problems to solve, and a chance to perform is an invitation to success. Fourth, if two people are candidates for a promotion to a job that pays $50,000, and one person makes $30,000 and the other $40,000, the higher paid person always gets the job. The higher paid person gets the job regardless of talent, contribution, or anything else. Corporations usually take the easy way out, and it is easier to promote the higher paid than the lower. Promoting the higher paid is the path of no resistance in most organizations. Someone approved the higher paid person's compensation. Others concurred. To leapfrog the higher paid diminishes the sponsor of the higher paid. And the sponsors of the higher paid are themselves even higher paid. Promoting the higher paid endorses the wisdom of upper management, Finally, in business, money is the scorecard. The more you make, the better you're doing. Simple. 2. Avoid staff jobs. Seek line jobs. Line jobs make money for your corporation. Line jobs bring in money or have direct relationship with profits and loss. The distinction between line and staff is sometimes blurred in corporations, but line jobs are where the action is. Line jobs include salespeople, sales managers, product managers, plant managers, marketing directors, foremen, supervisors, and general managers. Staff jobs include lawyers, planners, data processing people, research and development scientists, and administrators of all types. Line jobs directly help the company get and keep customers. Legitimate staff jobs indirectly get and keep customers. Jobs that don't get and keep customers are redundant. In most companies, most of the people are either in administration or in field sales. Administrative people are not bad nor untalented, but they are not at the cutting edge. The company doesn't depend on them. Take a staff job only if it is clearly temporary, a stepping stone, and if it pays more money. Be sure you know what the line and staff jobs in your company are. Be sure to get the right one. 3. Don't expect the personnel department to plan your career. Amazingly, many managers think the personnel department, also known as human resources, is supposed to construct a career path for them. They think companies actually have a grand plan for them. Some managers think there is some kind of preordained job ladder, as in the Army or a police department. A young manager does basic training, and the omniscient corporation promotes him or her to the next level up the pyramid. It doesn't work that way. Corporations don't have career plans for future presidents. It is doubtful if they have them for anybody. Your destiny and your career growth are your responsibility and no one else's. You have to know what you want. You have to design the plan to get there. You have to determine what skills and functional expertise are needed to get to the top in your company. Your responsibility is to acquire that experience. 4. Get and keep customers. Customers are the lifeblood of any company. Everybody should know this. Everybody says the customer is king, and we work for the customer, and the customer is the real boss. But very few employees in a corporation do anything to demonstrate they believe in this dictum. Commonly, the higher an executive gets, and the bigger the company, the less they deal with real, honest-to-goodness, existing and potential customers. Executives reorganize companies, eliminate jobs, and excuse the chaos by saying they are two or three levels closer to the customer. Bunk. There are no barriers between anyone in the corporation and the customer. Why do so few people really work to get and keep customers? Because dealing with customers is tough. Customers reject sellers. They negotiate. They make harsh demands. They expect their needs to be filled, and they can be fickle. Also, dealing with administrative functions is an easier, impersonal, and safe task. You must deal with today's customers and tomorrow's customers. They provide the ideas for new products and new applications. They provide the early warning signals about your product's quality and timeliness. They know about your competitors. To know your customers is to know your future. When the phone rings, 12 people ought to dive to answer it. The customer is indeed king, and the future president understands how the customer is also the kingmaker. 5. Keep physically fit. Your brain will make you money, but your body carries your brain. The better your physical condition, the greater your capacity for productive, unrelenting work. And being in good condition gives you another edge. 90% of all people climbing the corporate ladder are out of shape. You will be able to start earlier, pause less often, and end your day with a wind sprint. You will also sleep better. You'll be energetic and tire rarely. Your spirits will be up, and you will not get depressed. You will have the energy and motivation to, at night and on weekends, coach soccer, attend the theater, volunteer. How you keep fit is up to you. 6. Do something hard and lonely. Regularly practice something Spartan and individualistic. do something that you know very few other people are willing to do. This will give you a feeling of toughness, a certain self-elitism. It will mentally prepare you for the battle of business. Something that is hard and lonely is studying late at night for a graduate degree in fashion design, especially in the winter when everyone else is asleep. Or running long, slow distances early in the morning versus jogging at lunchtime with a mob. Split wood, write, work in the garden, read King Lear, but do it by yourself. Do something that is solitary. All great and successful athletes remember the endless hours of seemingly unrewarded toil. So do corporate presidents. 7. Never write a nasty memo. Never write a memo that criticizes, belittles, degrades, or is hurtful to a colleague. Never write a memo that is cynical, condescending, or unkind. Never send a memo written in anger or frustration. The world of business is very small. People get promoted, change companies, change jobs, have powerful friends, and do all of this around the world and throughout your 40 to 50 year career. Companies merge, acquire, and get acquired. Your self-made enemy could show up anywhere. Never give a company rival a smoking gun. Spend your energy on positive things. 8. Think for 1 hour every day. Spend one hard hour every day planning, dreaming, scheming, thinking, calculating. Review your goals. Consider options. Ponder problems. Write down ideas. Mentally practice your sales call or big presentation. Figure out how to get things done. Take mental stock. Do this every day. Do it at a scheduled time. Do it at a desk or working table. Do not do it while driving or jogging. Don't do it while shaving or showering. Don't plan on this kind of thinking at work. You will be interrupted. Keep written notes in your special idea notebook. 9. Keep and use a special idea notebook. Buy a notebook you like. Keep it in one place, in a desk drawer or in a briefcase pocket, and leave it there. Write down all your ideas, plans, goals, and dreams. Use this notebook as a source for your yearly, monthly, weekly, and daily to-do lists. Good ideas always have their time. When they do, commit them to action via your to-do list. 10. Don't have a drink with the gang. Don't have a drink with the gang after work. It is a waste of time and money. Have a drink with your spouse or with a friend. Don't drink at lunch. Better, don't eat lunch. Play squash or work. When you're on the road at a sales meeting or a seminar or a management meeting, don't go to the cocktail party before dinner. Go running or swimming instead. Have a sauna, shower, and dress for dinner. Never get tipsy with anyone connected with your company. It is a sign of weakness. It shows you are out of control. 11. Don't smoke. Nothing good happens to the people around you when you smoke cigarettes. You run a big risk of offending a non-smoker who can help or hurt your career. Even smokers dislike the smoke and ashes and butts and dirty ashtrays and smell of smokers. In addition to all the well-known, well-publicized arguments against smoking, there are other specific business reasons not to do so. Smoking wastes time. Smoking is a self-centered interest. To get ahead in business, you have to think of others, their needs and wants, not yours. Smoking interferes. Cigarette smokers are, or appear to be, controlled. Winners in business are in control. Smoking cigars is okay, if you are alone or with friends. Smoking an expensive cigar in the purview of a corporate chieftain is a mistake. The corporate chieftain will see you as pompous, as self-important, as having or spending too much money. If the boss gives you a celebration cigar, save it. You probably haven't yet earned the right to smoke a victory cigar. 12. Skip all office parties. There is no such thing as a business or office party. It is not a social gathering. It is business. Never party at an office party. It won't hurt you not to go at all. Don't offend people by criticizing the party, or by publicly announcing your intentions. Simply don't go. Give polite excuses. Never ever go to a company picnic if you cannot bring your spouse. A company picnic without spouses is trouble. To go is to run the risk of being tarred with the bad brush of others' actions. If the unwritten rule is, you must attend or you will offend, then go. Drink only soda, stay no more than 45 minutes, thank the boss for inviting you, and leave. If anyone asks where you are going, tell that person you are meeting your spouse, or parents, or fiancé, or doctor, or music teacher, or personal trainer. Parties are supposed to be fun, enjoyed with friends. Heed the old axiom, don't mix business with pleasure. 13. Friday is How Ya Doin' Day. Every Friday, take one of the people you need out to lunch and ask, How ya doin'? These are usually people not in your department. They are important gears in the machine, people who help get your job done. If you're in sales, it is probably the sales manager's assistant, or the person who figures quotas, or someone who figures price quotes. If you're in marketing, it is someone in manufacturing, or R&D, or anywhere. If you are anywhere, there's always someone. If you don't know who you need, find out. Business is like a machine. Every part needs to work. Every part needs to be oiled. Find out who you need, no matter how low in the organization, and let them know you need and appreciate them. Make one good ally in your company every month. 14. Make allies of your peers' subordinates. Your peers are rivals for your next spot. The support of your peers' teammates is important. Their support of you will help you get your job done, even if your peer deliberately or unintentionally acts to scuttle you. If your peer speaks well of you, her people will feel good because they already think the same. If your peer speaks poorly of you, her people will distrust her or think less of her because they think well of you. 15. Know everybody by their first name. To most people, there is no sound sweeter than their name remembered and pronounced correctly. Learn everybody's full name and know something about them. Find out what they do and why their job is important. If you learn that and you learn it sincerely and the people know you know it, you will be successful. A very good technique is to take visitors, customers, job candidates, friends, on an office or plant tour. Introduce them to people, telling the visitor what it is these other folks do that is important to the corporation. Your coworkers will appreciate the acknowledgement and will be flattered that you have invested the energy to recognize and value who they are and what they do. 16. Organize one-line good job tours. Every once in a while, get the highest-ranking person you can to tour and visit your department. Before the tour, write out a single 3-inch by 5-inch index card for every person in the department. On the card, write a 1- or 2-line report of some achievement or contribution, business or personal, that the person made. Use the cards as cue cards for the top guy, so that he can personally and specifically thank and compliment each person. Everybody wins on a good job tour. The top guy will enjoy the natural positive feedback from your people, and he or she will be more informed. Your people will love the recognition and will be more motivated knowing they are appreciated. You will look very good. The collective positives of your people will be your accomplishment. Don't let anybody in the company know you do this. 17. Make one more call. Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio, two of the greatest hitters in baseball history, each took more batting practice than did all their teammates combined. It took Alexander Graham Bell over 1,000 experiments to fashion a truly viable phone prototype. The difference between the successful person and the average is inches. The salesperson who makes one more sales call, the copywriter who does one more draft, the carpenter who nails one more board, the market researcher who does one more interview is going to be the best. 18. Arrive 45 minutes early and leave 15 minutes late. If you are going to be first in your corporation, practice by being first on the job. People who arrive at work late don't like their jobs. At least that's what senior management thinks. People don't arrive 12 minutes late for the movies. And being early always gives you a psychological edge over the others in your company. Don't stay at the office until 10 o'clock every night. You are sending a signal that you can't keep up or that your personal life is poor. Leave 15 minutes late instead. In those 15 minutes, organize your next day and clean your desk. You'll be leaving after 95% of the employees anyway, so your reputation as a hard worker stays intact. There are too many times in your career when circumstances such as airline schedules and sales meetings and year-end closings and such will keep you away from home until late. Give more time to your family. Plus, 45 minutes early and 15 minutes late is an hour a day. That's 250 hours a year, or 31 days. You can get ahead quickly working one extra month a year. 19. Don't take work home from the office. Your home hours are for listening to your family, studying, planning, expanding your interests, and pitching batting practice to your kids. If you always have to take work home, you are A, not managing your time properly, B, boring, C, wasting your precious non-work hours, and D, all of the above. A very busy and very good advertising executive was always bringing home tons of work. Her elementary school-age daughter, noting all the extra work her mother felt compelled to do, asked her innocently, "Mom, maybe you belong in a slower group." It is de rigueur for executives to take work home, but except for the reading of unimportant memos and ancient history, also known as monthly reports, no real work is ever done. Your senior management may note you don't take work home, even though you do take your briefcase, and decide to give you more projects and responsibility, and that's good. 20. Earn your invitation credentials. In every corporation, there is, at the top, a Cosa Nostra, an inner special family. This is the group that ultimately decides on who becomes CEO and for how long he or she will be in office. You must be invited into this inner group. You cannot simply work your way in or earn your way in with outstanding contribution. You must have more than talent. You have to acquire the same credentials that characterize those in the inner circle. These characteristics are usually different in every corporation. In some corporations, all the top people were salespeople early in their careers, or worked in a favored division, or were there at the beginning, or are Jewish, or Boston Brahmin, or members of the founding family. Find out who is in the inner circle. Find out why they are. Determine the necessary credentials. If the credentials are impossible to acquire, judge whether they might accept a token outsider. They often do. If you can't ever get the credentials, go to a corporation where you can. If the top bank executives are all ex-loan officers, be sure to serve a stint making loans. If everyone in the executive suite is an engineer, you'd better be an engineer. If the top people were once salespeople, then carry the bag. You can become CEO of the organization without being invited in, but you won't last. You'll be kicked out in 3 to 5 years by either a powerful manager, a large shareholder, or by the ruling clique of the board of directors. 21. Avoid superiors when you travel. Most people striving to climb the corporate ladder leap at the chance to travel with the top company executives. They think regaling the chairman or president or whomever with their latest project success and showing how bright they are is the way to the top. Don't do it. Good top managers judge on results, not clever conversation. Good top managers are also very busy, and unless you are working on one of their projects, after 10 minutes, they want to spend their time on anything but you. You should spend your travel time working. Airplane time is work time, so fly by yourself, If you travel with a top corporate executive and you spend the entire time working, as you must, he or she might think you're doing it for their benefit. Or worse, if they nap or read the airline magazine and are even a little bit insecure, they will be unsettled by your industriousness. If you must fly on the same plane, sit in a different section. Hotel time is also work time. If you travel with superiors, they may feel obligated to ask you to dinner. If they don't, you'll feel hurt. Either way, you waste valuable work time. 22. Eat in your hotel room. Because you should be traveling alone, and because you spend your business day with customers or on other company affairs, you should have nights free. If you do have a business dinner, be sure you get some business done. Have an objective for the dinner and work to achieve it. Spend your nights away from your home, family, and friends, working. Have dinner in your room. Get things done. Finish reports. Read research papers. Write memos. Check your email. Complete expense accounts. Dinner in your room saves time and money. It strengthens your individuality. It stretches your workday and extends your office. Spread your projects out. Flick on a ball game or a movie. Order a bottle of Beaulieu Vineyard Cabernet Sauvignon with dinner and get some work finished. Have breakfast in your room. Arrange for an exact service time. Get up early, do your exercises, get dressed, and start working. Don't waste time in a breakfast line with 100 business people. Don't read the local newspaper. If you're on the West Coast, call the East Coast. Plan your day. Set your daily objectives. Write your email. Get some things done. If you have a breakfast meeting, and these are excellent meetings, have an objective and an agenda and work to achieve it. 23. Work. Don't read paperbacks on the airplane. Airplane travel is tough. It is crowded, interrupted, and hurried. Inbound telephone calls are rare on an airplane. No one will bug you. Plan your work according to the time aloft. Bring work easily managed on an airplane. Carry a small stapler. Bring a large pre-stamped envelope to send back to your office. Bring several envelopes and stamps to handle handwritten follow-up notes. Have a specific work objective for each trip. 24. Keep a people file. Get a good big address book or a notebook computer. From the first day on the job, start keeping a file of all the people you meet, work with, and get to know. Be sure to note in your book what the people do. Management recruiter, brand manager, printing supplier, freelance writer. Use pencil for your address book, as people change jobs and numbers constantly. Every 6 months, send a note to the people you don't see regularly. Classmates, ex-colleagues, and so forth. Always ask people for their business card. Inevitably, they will ask for yours. Now you are in their file. Keep a backup copy of your people file in a safe place. Use this file during your entire career. Do this simple act of people linkage. No one else will do it quite the same way. Invest in people. 25. Send handwritten notes. Impersonal communication pervades. There is fax mail, email, junk mail, voicemail, talk and type computers, pagers, beepers, pins, ATMs, talking car doors, digitized wake-up calls. Greeting cards are pre-written for you. No one composes their own roses are red, violets are blue, Valentine's Day cards. Handwritten notes stand out. They are digitalis for the digital world. They will differentiate you, mark you as a person of manners and merit. They are personal, of the gracious past, and never out of style. There are endless occasions that warrant a handwritten note. Thank yous, praise, congratulations, regrets, for your information, thought you'd like to know, your presentation was just great, and your cassoulet was world class. Go to a good stationery store. Order a box of exceptional quality cards and envelopes, with your name on the cards and your address on the envelopes. Keep the box in your desk and carry some in your briefcase. Send one handwritten note a week, for starters. 26. Don't get buddy-buddy with your superiors. You and your superiors are business associates. You are not friends. There is a necessary line between you. Don't cross it and get buddy-buddy. Don't let your superiors cross it either. A lot of people think that becoming personal friends with senior executives is smart, and they work at it. They contrive meetings, seek invitations to the same parties, join the same country clubs, and all the rest. This is not the foundation for a successful career. It is a substitution for talent, and it is obvious. Do get to know your boss and her bosses very well. Know their problems, plans, personalities, idiosyncrasies, weaknesses, strengths, and everything else. Always be there to help, both in business and personally. But toe the friendship line. You can become friends later when you are in different companies. Same thing goes for your subordinates. 27. Don't hide an elephant. Big problems always surface. If they have been hidden, even unintentionally, the negative fallout is always worse. The hiders always get burned, regardless of complicity. The discoverers always are safe, regardless of complicity. When you know there's a problem, a goof, a snafu, and it is important, let your supervisors and colleagues know right away. The longer you wait, the more you increase the severity of the problem. You can turn a big problem into an opportunity to shine. Define and explain the problem carefully. Give estimates of potential damage. Describe possible scenarios. Suggest some solution options. Ask for help. This is important. It is also very important to position yourself as an independent reporter, in control. Describe the problem and treat it as if you were not previously involved. Loosen entanglements. Watergate, Vietnam, and surprise business bankruptcies are classic elephants, apparently well hidden, that were mismanaged and produced disastrous results. Each elephant grew with the hormones of panic and deception. The crisis managers were like children trying to save sandcastles from the tide. Note, however, how President John F. Kennedy handled his Bay of Pigs debacle, preemptively, publicly, on television. My fault, we blew it. Any questions? Kennedy emerged unscathed, actually strengthened. 28. Be visible. Practice whack-a-dad. Promote yourself within the corporation. Do so by working on projects that are visible or are the pet projects of senior people. Ask people what the big problems are. Think about them. Work on solutions. Test the solutions. Write up your proposals and get proper distribution of your ideas. Don't talk about how good you are. Prove it with action, over and over. Remember the acronym WACADAD. WACADAD. Words are cheap and deeds are dear. Ted Levitt of Harvard Business School wrote that, quote, creativity without implementation is irresponsibility, unquote. Ideas are nothing without execution. So few people in a corporation actually execute ideas that the person who does becomes visible and is often sought to do more. Pick your spots to shine. Presentations to senior management, instructing a training class, and speaking before the sales force are highly visible forums. Seek them and work very hard to prepare outstanding presentations. 29. Always take vacations. The executive who brags she never takes vacations is either a fool or a poor manager. You must be able to establish your department, job, or area of responsibility so it can function smoothly without you. Otherwise, you won't be able to travel to see customers. There are several career reasons to take vacations. If you go to the right places, you increase your chances of meeting people who have the potential to help you. It is an occasion to observe other ways of life, new fashions and trends, different ways business is done, and literally to broaden your horizons. It is the time to write a book, or practice photography, or sample the risottos of Tuscany. It is a time to think and plan. And, not unimportantly, a planned vacation forces you to work incredibly hard before you leave and finish lots of work. Always plan your vacation far in advance. Pick your winter dates a year in advance. Let your superiors know well ahead of time. Never cancel. Never leave a telephone number. Experiment and go to different places, but always go. 30. Always say yes to a senior executive request. The time management books will tell you this is wrong, that always saying yes weakens your control over time. But always say, "I can do it," when a top guy asks. Even if he asks you to water the plants in the lobby, do it. Listen carefully to the request. The guy might be suggesting a solution, not stating the core problem. However, what he really wants is the problem solved. Evaluate his solution to see if it fits the need. If not, provide a different solution and get the real job done. No matter what the request, give him more than he wanted, sooner than expected, and with your own touch of personal innovation. People who get the job done are the ones who get the top jobs. 31. Never surprise your boss. Bosses don't like surprises. They get enough unknowns from the business environment, their supervisors, cunning rivals, and other subordinates. They don't need surprises, good or bad, from you. They want to be informed. They want to be able to answer their boss's questions about the status of projects, progress on the latest crisis, and everything else. Your boss wants to appear in control, on top of things. It is a discourtesy to him and to the organization for you to keep your boss in the dark. If you surprise your boss, he will begin to mistrust you. You must have the trust of your boss. Good or bad, he is there, and he usually has the most influence on your early career. Your boss is often more informed about company events that don't concern you. A surprise, even if well-intentioned, when mixed with the wrong kind of unfolding events, can be disastrous. Put yourself in your boss's place. No surprises. 32. Make your boss look good and your boss's boss look better. Getting real promotions usually requires a vacancy up the ladder. Your best chance is to succeed your boss. But she can't get promoted unless there is someone to replace her. Making her look good improves her promotability, and because you make her look good, she will want you to stay around. You are now promotable. Your boss cannot promote you without getting approval from her superiors. If you have made your boss's boss look better, your entire promotability equation will be enhanced. Your boss's boss is always the key. He is often more interested and influential in your career than your immediate superior. This is absolutely true if your boss is not going anywhere. You make these people look good by anticipating their needs and problems and by doing the extra work needed to get answers. Always keep them informed. Always finish work ahead of schedule. Always do a bit more. See their job through their eyes. Help them by doing the project and making suggestions as if you were in their place. Don't let them make a mistake. 33. Never let a good boss make a mistake. One of the best things that can happen to you to help your ascendancy in a corporation is to work for a good boss. A good boss trains you to take her place, and when she ultimately gets promoted, you have a chance to progress. Don't let your good boss make a mistake that could hurt her promotability, because that directly hurts your promotion chances. Don't let your good boss make a mistake that could hurt your company, because that makes it harder for the company to flourish. And the better your company performs, the more resources are available for rewards. If your boss needs more facts to make a decision, do her homework. If your boss is ill-prepared for a meeting, give her a heads-up briefing. If your boss has a weak presentation, beef it up. Don't link the potential mistake with your boss personally. Don't say, "You are making a mistake," or "There is an error in your report." Handle the mistake avoidance like this. "Mary, there may be a problem in this budget. It looks like the cost numbers are understated. If we use $10 an hour for the rate instead of $8, we will have a more realistic budget." Corollary. Tell everyone who works for you, inside and outside the organization, that they must never let you make a mistake. Be sure your boss knows you have that rule. 34. Go to the library one day a month. Leave the office and take one workday a month, or every 3 weeks, and go to a local public or university library. Commandeer a big work table and organize all your to-do projects. Knock off all the detailed stuff. Get the administrivia finished. Administrivia describes those little business tasks, such as paperwork, expense accounts, report reviews, that, if not completed, can cause big problems. Organize your big projects into small, digestible pieces. Get your people file up to date. Organize your idea book. Write all your follow-up memos, customer letters, and thank you notes. One good, uninterrupted workday in a quiet library will enable you to accomplish 10 times more than you could with the same number of hours in your office. The feeling of getting so much done will embolden you, give you a sense of being ahead, in control, and will motivate you to work hard on your regular responsibilities. 35. Add one big new thing to your life each year. To be qualified to be a chief executive officer of a corporation, you must be broad-gauged, widely read, and have many diverse interests. You need to see solutions to your problems in the ways of other cultures, nature, music, how beavers build dams, anything. You also need to focus your energy and practice discipline. Adding one new big permanent facet to your life will prepare you for the presidency of your corporation. Learn a foreign language, Chinese cooking, or photography. Write a book, raise orchids, or breed canaries. Learn to play Blueberry Hill on the piano. Make a list of the things you want to do in the next 10 years. Nothing you want to do should be omitted. When you say you are too old to learn tennis, you are saying you don't have the capacity to grow, expand, or run an enterprise. If you don't have the time, how will you ever get the time to handle a bigger job with twice the responsibility? Demonstrate your ability to grow. 36. Study these books. Obvious Atoms by Robert Updegraff. Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell. The Bible. The Art of War by Sun Tzu. The Book of Five Rings by Musashi Miyamoto. On War by Karl von Clausewitz. The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli. Bartlett's Familiar Quotations. Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. The Forbes Book of Business Quotations, edited by Ted Goodman. The Complete Works of Shakespeare. On Advertising by David Ogilvy. The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway. The Elements of Style by William Strunk and E.B. White. Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. And Anything by Thomas Jefferson. 37. Dress for a dance. A wise high school principal once disagreed with a young student council president who wanted to change the strict dress code for the sophomore dance. The principal said, "Dress for football, you play football. Dress for a dance, you dance." The same lesson holds for business. Dress for business, you do business. In certain places, companies, and industries, different dress codes reflect different cultures. This is fine, and you should be hip to each culture. For example, in Puerto Rico and Hawaii, business is often conducted in shirt sleeves. In the field, executives sometimes wear work boots and hard hats. Plant managers wear safety glasses and lab coats. These are easily understood exceptions. Practice being presidential all the time, and that includes the business uniform. You don't have to spend a ton of money on tailored suits or become a fashion plate. Buy a book on how to dress in business, such as John T. Malloy's New Dress for Success or New Women's Dress for Success, also by John T. Malloy, and note how successful people dress. 38. Overinvest in people. Hire the best people. Attract, motivate, train, and reward the best people. Companies that save money by only hiring people they can afford are headed to mediocrity in their industry if they are not already there. It is better to hire one exceptional person at $60,000 a year than two average people at $25,000 each. Overinvest with emotional currency as well. Give the winners trust, independence, praise, freedom, encouragement. Leaders of organizations know that people make things happen. They never forget this elemental truth. Without an army, a general is nothing. If the people in your organization support you, trust you, believe in you, and respect you, they will propel you to the top. But the people in the organization give back only what they get. They are mirror-like reflectors. If trusted, they trust back. If respected, they respect back. Many executives fail because the other employees know their leader is insincere, dishonest, fearful, or untrustworthy. People will accept intellectual, physical, cultural, even moral flaws in their leaders, but they will never accept an anti-people character. Hire people according to the three I's. I for integrity, first priority. I for the I can do it attitude, critical. I for intelligence. If the person knows what they don't know, or that they might have to work 10% harder than a PhD, that's intelligence enough. Once you find this rare person, overinvest in her. She will know it and give you a great return on the investment. People are not dumb. They are not in business to lose money or to make mistakes in enemies. All they need is a little wise investment. 39. Overpay your people. If a person should be paid $5 an hour, she knows it. If you pay her $4.75, it will cost you 100 times the savings in sabotage. She will feel cheated. She won't go the extra inch, won't work the extra hour. She will find a way, mentally, physically, or economically, to punish you for paying her unfairly. If a person should be paid $5, and everyone knows it, pay her $5.75. You will get much more production than the extra 75 cents it will cost you, because the person will stretch to justify your confidence in her. Short-sighted managers don't understand this. They think they are keeping costs down. They think people should be happy to have the job in the first place. They believe people aren't worth their pay. On an individual basis, some people aren't worth their pay, and they can exist at any level in the organization. Get rid of them, for they take money from the real workers. One non-earner's salary can be spread among many. You can't cut people costs and save money. People are an asset, a contributing return on investment. You make money on people. If an investment in a bank account were returning 20% on capital, would you cut costs, that is, reduce your investment? Of course not. You would increase your investment. You are much better off to have fewer exceptional people all making more money than they should, than to have the same or lower payroll costs with more people.
This is the end of Side 1. Please turn over the tape for proper cueing of Side 2.
Stop, look, and listen. Presidents reflect. They don't shoot from the lip. They think, consider, ponder, observe, probe, and listen. They stop and observe. They stop before saying the wrong thing. They stop before making a snap decision. They stop before sending the barbed letter. And they watch and listen some more. To become a president, you must master the art of and ability to stop, look, and listen. Listening is very difficult, especially for aggressive, energetic, bright people. You must train yourself to always be on high receive. You have to hear the unsaid, just as Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes heard the dog that didn't bark. You have to listen to what the eyes, hands, and frowns are saying. You have to listen to customers, suppliers, supervisors, colleagues, non-customers, company salespeople, competitors, everybody. Listening can be learned. It can be practiced. When someone is speaking, stop what you are doing, look at the person, and listen. Good listeners are considered great conversationalists. Listening is equated with wisdom and intelligence. Listen, listen, listen. 41. Be a flag-waving company patriot. If you want to be president of your company, you must commit yourself totally to your company and to its products or services. You must understand and believe in your company's mission. You must personalize your company's culture and then add to it. You must do this unflaggingly, publicly, and without reserve. You must use the products, if possible, and promote them tirelessly to all. Do not go to work for a company if you cannot unabashedly shout the virtues of their products. If you do not believe in smoking, handguns, champagne, or yogurt, don't work for companies that make such stuff. Buy stock in your company if it's available. Only buy your company's products, if that is reasonable, and recommend them stridently to friends and family. Cynicism about one's own corporation is the hallmark of losers, not future presidents. 42. Find and fill the data gaps. In business, when someone says, "I think," or "we believe," or "it's my opinion," that means they don't know. Identify what you don't know and what your organization doesn't know. These are data gaps. Don't be misled by the clever articulation of bright people in the company who only talk to each other and never leave the office. Get the facts. Talk to customers and users. People who know they cannot possibly know everything, but are willing to work very hard to find the data, succeed. 43. Homework, homework, homework. Most people in business never really work hard. They manufacture a busy look by bustle and busy work. They read reports, go to meetings, write long-winded memos, fill out forms, and waste time. This is the rocking chair syndrome. Lots of movement, but they're not going anywhere. Hard workers spend the same amount of time, but they use it intensely. They do the hard things. They do the homework. They find out the facts. They figure out how to get something done. They work on the nitty-gritty details of execution. They cover all the bases and consider all the options. But most of all, they think. They dig. The rocking chair guy prepares for his history test by reading 8 chapters 10 times in 7 hours. The homework guy breaks the chapters apart, synthesizes the information, and memorizes the 8 chapters in 7 hours. Success in projects is anticlimactic. Homework preordains it. 44. Never panic or lose your temper. As Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Nothing gives one person so much advantage over another as to remain cool and unruffled under all circumstances." Unquote. Temper tantrums, immobilization, unwise snap decisions, finger-pointing, and acts of cowardice are all signs of panic. Good presidents don't panic. They don't throw tantrums. They keep themselves in control so they can keep control of the situation. In the course of making fine wine, one of the crucial time periods is the crush. The crush is those few weeks when the grapes are selected for harvest, tested for quality, chosen or rejected, and crushed to release the juice that will eventually become wine. Mistakes or misjudgments during the crush can adversely impact the entire vintage, resulting in a damaged reputation and reduced prices and profits. Some years ago, in the midst of the crush at a famous winery, the president received a frantic call from his managers. The winemaker had resigned. The president instantly knew the damage potential, but he stayed calm, thought for some moments, then asked, "What would you do if the winemaker had died instead of resigned?" The managers said they would make so-and-so the winemaker. "So be it," said the president, and the new winemaker carried on the winery tradition for 15 more years. If a colleague makes an unkind comment to you, do not respond, but it is okay to laugh. Your supporters will be as offended as you. Your detractors will sense your control. Anyone else will see you as above the fray. Do not get angry. Even when anger is justified, observers are put off by the angry person. School yourself not to panic. Tell yourself to stay calm. If you have 10 seconds to make a decision, think for 9. 45. Learn to speak and write in plain English. You must learn to communicate. You must be articulate. More time and money are lost in business due to poor communication than to any other reason. Billions of dollars in advertising is wasted annually. Billions of human hours are spent doing wrong or unnecessary tasks. Billions of pages of reading matter are never read. Business communications must be precise, complete, and totally comprehensible. Both written and verbal communication, especially job direction, must be to the point. Long, tedious, flowery, jargon-filled communications are wasteful. If your people don't get it right, they won't do it right. Spend as much time as necessary getting perfect mutual understanding of what is to be done. The irony about communication in industry is that so much is communicated about the lack of communication. Good communication is hard work. It requires a sensitivity to the audience or readers. You must understand your audience's needs, their mindsets, available time, and other priorities, how they absorb information, and their educational level. Follow these guidelines for clear communication. Be sure your letter or memo is necessary. Have a specific objective for the communication. Choose the simplest mode possible. Do the homework and have all the facts. Write a scattergram of all your points. A scattergram is a written collection of all the points, ideas, facts that will go into your writing. Don't prioritize or organize. This is a get started tool. Organize the message carefully. Write a zero draft. A zero draft is your first attempt and is always rewritten, condensed. Write a first draft. Edit ruthlessly to a one-page final draft. Use language your audience will understand. A good rule of thumb: think for 3 hours, write for 1. 46. Treat all people as special. People are more than people. They are individuals. They are mothers, fathers, soccer coaches, charity workers, PTA volunteers, Sunday school teachers, and contributors. They can do a lot if it is appreciated, and they can do more if they are motivated and thanked. Excellent managers make people feel that they are asked, not questioned, overpaid, not underpaid, measured, not monitored, people, not personnel, sold on what to do, not told, instrumental, not instruments, workers, not worked, contributors, not costs, needed, and heeded. 47. Be a credit maker, not a credit taker. Give everybody 100% credit for the work they do. If you have 5 people reporting to you, and each gets 100%, you get 500%. That's the way it works. It's like building a house. 100% for the guy who puts in the foundation, 100% for the roofer, 100% for the electrician, and the contractor gets the sum of the parts. Many managers don't understand this. They think if their people look too good, they'll be diminished. They think they have to have some of the credit, especially for the fantastic roof. So they steal it. They tell their boss, other superiors, colleagues, and even the guy who did the work, that they, the credit takers, were really responsible. The credit taker is insecure, dishonest, and known to all. Even the cleverest credit taker is ultimately found out. He is found out first by the people who work under him, then, albeit slowly, by the rest of the organization. Give proper credit and you will become known as a credit maker, as somebody who gets things done, as a person to work for. Your people will work very hard, as they know they will be fairly recognized. 48. Give informal surprise bonuses. If someone does an extraordinarily good job on something, particularly something that is not part of his regular responsibility, give him a bonus. Don't expect your company's compensation policy to allow this. It won't. Like all corporate policies, the one in compensation is designed to dampen innovation. Don't publish criteria for your bonus system. Don't even publish the bonus system itself. The word will get around. Be irregular. Give different amounts at different times of the year. Everyone who works for you will know that if they do a superlative job, lightning might strike, and they will work hard to increase their chances. 49. Please, be polite with everyone. Use good manners all the time with everyone. Be gracious. Never pull rank. Never wear your boss's stripes. Don't smoke in someone else's office or car. Don't smoke at meetings or meals. Don't swear or use coarse language. Don't put your feet on office furniture. Don't put your briefcase on a conference table. Treat your office, everyone else's office, salespeople's cars, and all company belongings as if they were yours. Always be on time for appointments. Don't let salespeople or visitors wait in the lobby. Don't keep people holding on the phone. Be conscious of other people's time. Don't waste it. Particularly, don't waste your subordinates' time. Courtesy is good business. Always introduce yourself, your spouse, and anyone else clearly and slowly. Always introduce your subordinates to the senior people in your organization. Always say please and thank you. 50. 10 things to say that make people feel good. People who feel good about themselves and their jobs will contribute at high levels. If they work for you, with you, or near you, they will propel you in front of them. Saying nice things to people makes them feel good, but you must be absolutely sincere. Practice and remember to say the following. 1. Please. 2. Thank you. A good manager has cause to say thank you 20 times a day. 3. You remember Larry Kessler in our accounts payable department. This is a way of introducing someone to a superior. 4. That was a first-class job you did. 5. I appreciate your effort. 6. I hear nothing but good words about you. 7. I am glad you are on the team. 8. I need your help. 9. You certainly earned and deserve this. 10. Congratulations. 51. The glory and the glamour come after the grunt work. Graduations, promotions, trophies, kudos, varsity letters, Salesperson of the Year awards, President's Club memberships, and such represent the glory and glamour. Corner offices and big money are also part of the glory and glamour. These are the visible parts of success in business. However, it is the invisible, day-to-day, behind-the-scenes toil and grunt work that many people don't see, appreciate, or do. It is the grunt work that counts and begets the glory. It is the homework, the early mornings, the weekend travel away from home, the checking and rechecking, the trial and error, and the endless hours of inch-by-inch progress that the glamour masks. If you begrudge the grunt work, you will not get the glory. 52. Tinker, tailor, try. In business, failure costs so much money that most every satisfied company with more than 1,000 employees avoids the risk of innovations. Perhaps 97% of all people in all organizations are afraid of change and innovation. But new ideas and new products are what create new customers and are the wellspring for a company's continued vitality and survival. The ability to create new products is tedious, difficult, and regardless of the company rhetoric, almost always counterculture. To be an innovator in U.S. corporations is unique, but it is a quality boards of directors seek. Not many things work perfectly the first time. Hit novels and Broadway plays aren't published after one draft. New product development is a labyrinth of wrong routes and dead ends. Ideas need noodling and tinkering and fiddling to become workable. Nurture the good idea. Spend a little, not a lot. Don't risk big money in the embryonic stage. Get feedback. Tinker with the concept. Tailor it to better fill the needs of the target audience. Most importantly, try something. Try this. Try that. Don't talk. Don't have meetings. Don't write memos. Do something. Make an ad concept. Build a prototype. Give out samples. Then tinker some more. Tailor it a bit. And try again. If it's a bad idea, you'll know it. Drop it. If it's a good idea, you'll now be able to sell it to the corporation. You can manage the risk and manage the investment escalation. 53. Haste makes waste. One business myth is that it is admirable to be the aggressive, super sure, rapid-fire manager who makes one quick decision after another. This style might be okay if the decisions can be reversed or altered with little impact, or if there is a catastrophe with an absolute time frame, such as a fire in the factory. But decisions made for speed's sake are risky. There are two kinds of decisions, revocable and irrevocable. Knowing the difference is a hallmark of the good manager. Revocable decisions are changeable decisions and can be made relatively fast because their impact is less, and if wrong, there is time to redo. The organization has to live with irrevocable decisions. Learn what defines revocable and irrevocable in your organization. Here are typical examples of revocable decisions. Office layouts. Advertising schedules. Pricing. Not making a decision. Committee assignments. Company policies. Choosing an insurance company. Phone services. Generally, these kinds of decisions are irrevocable. Brand names, acquisitions, executive hires, new buildings. You must always think fast and study fast to be able to decide fast. 54. Pour the coals to a good thing. If you find a good thing, no matter how prosaic or tried and true, pour the coals to it. Not every success is solving the big problem, developing the hot new product, or turning around the bad division. The financial objective of an enterprise is to provide a significant return to the shareholders. You do this by the profitable finding and filling of customer needs. If the customers like it, don't change it. Don't change the label, the ingredients, the name, the price, the advertising, or anything else. The Disney Company understands a good thing. Mickey Mouse made his stage debut over 50 years ago. Understanding the phenomenal allure of Mickey Mouse, Disney invested heavily to create an American icon. And today, Mickey Mouse greets kids at Disney World, stars in books and movies, sells everything from dolls to eyeglasses, and is the star of Disney stores. Procter & Gamble never tires of telling people that Ivory Soap is 99.44% pure. In fact, Procter & Gamble has been using that slogan for over 100 years, and Ivory Soap continues to be one of the best-selling soaps in the U.S. Don't change the formula for success. Rather, pour the coals to it. 55. Put the importance on the bright idea, not the source of the idea. Always be on the lookout for ideas. Be completely indiscriminate as to the source. Get ideas from customers, children, competitors, other industries, or cab drivers. Doesn't matter who thought of an idea. What matters is who implements the idea. Many managers don't understand this. Creative people are doers. They recognize a good idea right away. They add their own personality in the relentless execution of the idea. Creative people don't say, "Whose brilliant idea was that?" They don't belittle ideas or the suggesters. They simply can't be bothered. Truly creative people realize they have only one brain, no matter how fertile. So they enhance the probability of getting good ideas by listening to the ideas of others. If they listen to 100 people, they've multiplied their creative capacity 100 times. 56. Stay out of office politics. Too many executives think the road to the top is paved with the bodies of their colleagues. They scheme to embarrass or downgrade their fellow managers. The crude ones are gunslingers. The clever ones use stilettos. They are often sycophants. They are at your feet or at your throat. They are obvious. They survive only in poor organizations. Rampant office politics is symptomatic of a weak leader. The reward system is probably not fair nor clear. The fiefdom may even be in trouble. Instead of fighting the competition or crusading for new customers, the executives fight each other, try to curry favor, and waste time. Don't waste your time. Spend your time creating and accomplishing. Let your actions be your politics. In good companies, contribution counts. Be the last to know. Don't get sucked in. Don't let people tell you something if they say it's confidential. Don't ask, don't answer, don't agree. Don't say anything bad about anyone. Don't gossip. Say, I don't know. Just work. 57. Look sharp and be sharp. A little vanity is good. Look after yourself and keep an attractive appearance. Stay trim. Get your hair cut properly. Avoid garish and faddish and cheap quality clothes. Maintain a healthy outdoors look. Get rid of the jailhouse pallor. Don't be sickly. Think healthy. Take vitamins. Exercise and eat properly. Recognize unhealthy stress and find ways to relax and reduce stress. Get an annual physical. Have a bright smile. Brush your teeth and have fresh breath. Get your teeth fixed and get braces if you need them. Keep your hair, hands, and fingernails clean. Eliminate dandruff and avoid heavy cologne. Polish your shoes often. Put a fresh flower in your lapel if you wish. Put a lilt in your step. Be up and smile. 58. Emulate, study, and cherish the great boss. Most people can count their memorable teachers from kindergarten through graduate school on one hand. The same is true with coaches and mentors. It is especially true in business. Great bosses are not common. There are lots of nice people, and there are a few disasters, but the great boss is a rarity. He or she teaches without preaching. They praise properly. The great bosses are challenging and fair goal setters. They are honest. They let their people grow without the restraints of harsh judgment, public criticism, or corporate bureaucracy. Some may be idiosyncratic and have whims, even touches of pettiness, but they are always experienced, hardworking, open-minded, and smart. Seek those people out early in your career. Work for them. Watch them closely. See how they handle criticism and problems. Note how they manage people. Find out how they get things done. Learn their way. 59. Don't go over budget. Get your job done on time and within budget. Senior managers promote people who deliver what is expected. Exceeding budget causes problems. Businesses are always under pressure to reduce costs. Budget overages intensify the pressure. Do not be like the U.S. Congress or state highway departments. Even on the smallest scale in a corporation, there is a need to stay within budget. The burden on the manager is to know clearly what his objectives are and to plan and price the execution carefully. Tight budgets promote creativity, ingenuity, and inventiveness. Look upon a tight budget as a challenge. Find new and less expensive ways of doing things. The corporation will be improved. You will be appreciated. 60. Never underestimate an opponent. Opponents can be competitors, rival managers, or buying committees. They will come in every physical form: man, woman, fat, trim, old, young, nerdy, or charismatic. Opponents will be articulate, bumblers, shufflers, or joggers. Do not be misled by appearance or reputation. Do not become overconfident or smug. Assume nothing. Never underestimate an opponent's intelligence, stamina, or skill. Never underestimate their capacity for good or evil, including duplicity, dishonesty, and cunning. If you underestimate an opponent, you may get knocked on your butt. If you overestimate an opponent, you may be pleasantly surprised. 61. Assassinate the character assassin with a single phrase. One of the most dangerous impediments to one's career is the character assassin. The character assassin usually thrives in a firm racked by office politics. But he can be anywhere. He can be your boss. He is always dishonest, ambitious, and treacherous. The character assassin targets the up-and-comers. He goes after all potential rivals, but upward-striving managers are likely victims because they tend to take more risks and make more mistakes. The character assassin instinctively understands Mark Twain's brilliant observation on falsehood. Twain wrote in his essay, Advice to Youth, that the truth is not hard to kill, but a lie well told is immortal. The character assassin is obvious and apparent to the keen observer, and he will and does attack everyone. These two traits are his vulnerability. When conversation with a colleague turns to the character assassin, and it will, if you are a target, simply say, "Of course, with Mr. X, no one is spared." Your colleague, knowing of Mr. X's style, will assume he, too, has been a recent target. Assassin assassinated. 62. Become a member of the Shouldn't Have Club. People who belong to the Should Have Club are always saying, I should have done that, I could have done that, or I would have done that. The Should Have Club is full of non-doers, the risk-averse. They never go for it. They are so afraid of losing, they never plan to win. The Should Have Club is boring. The members never get cut or scratched. They never miss a shot in the last second. There are no reprimands, and they make no waves. There is not an Arnold Palmer or Chris Evert or Larry Bird in this club. The Shouldn't Have Club is the place to be. This is the winner's circle. Each time you admonish yourself with, gee, I shouldn't have done that, there will be 10 other times when the results will prove you should have. No guts, no glory. 63. The concept doesn't have to be perfect, but the execution of it does. If you wait for the perfect time, for the perfect new product, for conditions to be just right, you will never get started. Even the greatest of companies and products have been improved since their beginning. If the concept is better than anything else, and it fills a need better than what's on the market now, then do it. If it's a better way, don't wait until it gets a little better. Do not let perfect be the enemy of better. Execute the concept's development and introduction with meticulous attention to detail. Leave nothing undone. Get the product out on time. Be sure the pricing, advertising, and everything else is right. No matter what you are trying to launch, from a new product to a new manufacturing process to a real estate development, it is the excellence of execution that will determine success or failure. 64. Record and collect your mistakes with care and pride. Mistakes are milestones. They indicate action in new and unexperienced areas. They are learning devices. Keep track of them in a section of your idea notebook. State exactly what you did wrong, where you made the wrong move, what motivated you to blow it. What prompted you to say the wrong thing? Were you angry, acting immature, gossiping, or bragging? Did you skip a step in the homework, ignore a seemingly minor detail, or were you lazy? Be your own Monday morning quarterback. Whatever the root cause of your mistake, record it. You probably will never make it again. Make notes on what you learned, how you would handle the same event again. Acknowledging mistakes is a sign of security and confidence. It shows a willingness to try new things and take on uncertain ventures. Mistakes are the exhaust of active doing people. A record of mistakes is often the memorabilia of a very successful person. 65. Live for today, plan for tomorrow, forget about yesterday. You can't bring back yesterday, so don't try. Don't brood over yesterday, and don't gloat. Get on with today. Today is very important. It is whatever you want it to be. Plan for tomorrow. It will be a good day. 66. Have fun. Laugh. Business is tough enough not to have fun. If your job isn't fun, you have to change jobs or find ways to add some fun. If you can make the jobs of others a lot of fun, they will work harder and more creatively and feel more satisfied with their careers and lives. A working environment that is constantly blood and guts, pressure, and seriousness is stressful and inefficient. The manager who is able to maintain a sense of humor and to lighten the mental load of his colleagues will always have a motivated, happy team. A sense of humor is a mark of intelligence. That is a quality desired in corporate presidents. 67. Treat your family as your number one client. It is very easy to let your business career monopolize all your time and energy. The more action-oriented you become, the more there is to do. But to force your spouse and children into second place is a mistake. You need the support of your family. It will help you in your career. You need an enthusiastic spouse who understands that some sacrifice is necessary. Your family must be an ally in your future plans. Put your family on your calendar. Schedule as many soccer games as possible. Schedule vacations. Leave work early if you are taking your children trick-or-treating. Put family activities on your to-do list. Give them high priority. Quality time with your family will reward you 1,000-fold. When your spouse or children speak to you, put down the newspaper or book or mute the TV and turn and look at them while they are speaking. You will strengthen that relationship and practice your listening skills at the same time. It is also a polite thing to do. Respond to your family as you do to your job or to that big, important client. 68. No goals, no glory. In hockey and soccer, you need goals to win. A goal is the result of successful effort. No goals, no win, no glory. In business, no goals, no glory. In life, no goals, no glory. You must set goals for yourself. The time management books insist goal setting is the first step in getting control over time. Goals shape your plans, direct your energies, and focus your resources. You must write down your goals in your idea notebook. You should have at least two sets of goals, one set for your business career and one set for your life. Your goals should have 25, 10, 5, and 1-year timetables. Your 1-year goals should be broken down into 12 monthly steps. The month should be parceled into weekly steps. You must create a yearly, monthly, weekly, and daily to-do list. On your to-do list, write the things you have to do to reach your goals. On your daily to-do list, put some action that will get you closer to your long-range goals. This will keep you targeted. If you don't have goals, you won't get them. Goals beget goals. 69. Always remember your subordinates' spouses. A business career asks much of a person. Your success very much depends on the contribution of the people on your team. The easier you can make the burden of working, the farther your people can carry the load. A spouse can help or hurt. He or she can understand and be supportive, or can nag and complain. He or she can make it easy for your colleague to work extra hours or to travel. Or the spouse can scuttle the whole effort. The spouse is an important potential ally for the corporation, or, frightfully, a virulent enemy. This is such common sense, but the spouse is often forgotten, left out by the corporation. Don't forget your people's families. When you get a chance, thank them personally for their support. When people are at a national sales meeting, send the spouse flowers. When you're on the road and a colleague wants or feels obligated to take you out to dinner, be sure to invite the spouse as well. Arrange an occasional weekend for two for a job well done. Keep the spouse in mind. Everyone will be a little happier. 70. See the job through the salespeople's eyes. One of the oldest truisms of business is, nothing happens until somebody sells something. Accountants won't count, manufacturers won't make, and managers won't manage until and unless someone sells something. Very few products are bought. Most have to be sold. Someone has to get the order, get the product on the shelf, get the customer to spend money. Selling is key to the enterprise. No matter what your function in the corporation, no matter what kind of a corporation, and regardless of the product or service, you must see the job through the salesperson's eyes. He or she is face-to-face and belly-to-belly with the customer. He hears the customer complaints. He receives the rejection. Spend time in the field. Sell if you can. Travel with the salespeople. Make calls. Attend sales meetings. Conduct training sessions. Learn what goes on out there. This will earn you credentials with the sales force, always a powerful constituency in any corporation. It will earn your spurs with sales management, always a powerful group in a corporation. You will know what motivates and demotivates the salespeople. You will have knowledge of customers, and that knowledge is a source of great power. Work the trenches, and the trenches will work for you. 71. Be a very tough heller seller. You have to learn to sell like hell. Whether you want your department staff to work on Saturday, or you want your boss's approval on your latest scheme, or you want the plum project, you have to get the order. There are a million books on selling. Read some. You must become a tough, get-the-order salesperson. To be a salesperson who sells, you do not have to have an outgoing personality or a glib line. You have to do the following. 1. Determine your customer's needs. 2. Determine how your product will satisfy your customer's needs. 3. Develop an unshakable attitude of persistence and tenacity. 4. Make the sales call. 5. Ask for the order. 6. Be prepared to make as many sales calls as are necessary to get the order. Persistent and tenacious salespeople know that the numbers are in their favor. They know that 25% of all sales closes are made simply by asking for the order. They know that 75% of all sales closes are made on the fourth or subsequent sales call. They know that 90% of all salespeople never ask for the order. They know that 95% of all sales interviews are really conversation or entertainment, not selling. They know, therefore, that there is little competition for the persistent and tenacious salesperson. They know that making more calls and asking for the order is the formula for success. Persistence, tenacity, attitude. The Heller sellers have it. 72. Don't be an empire builder. Many managers mistakenly think that having the biggest budget or the most people reporting to them is a guarantee to getting the top job. Actually, it is the manager who gets the job done with less people and less money, who is most needed by the corporation. Never complain that you are expected to do more than your budget enables. Don't be the manager who constantly needs to hire people and is always adding to his department. Don't use the lack of resources as an excuse. Forget the empire. Promotions and power go to producers, not to people administrators. 73. Push products, not paper. Modern corporations are caught in a terrible dilemma. They need to streamline procedures and cut the bureaucratic creep. Bureaucratic creep describes the incremental growth of red tape in organizations. Rules, useless forms, external task forces, old policies, and so on. They need innovation and prudent risk-taking. They need entrepreneurship. Corporations need to spend all their resources, money, time, people, and plant, against the marketplace. But corporations drift to administration and paper. Corporations are afraid of internal entrepreneurial spirit. They can't handle the personalities that build businesses. Most managers can't deal with the informal, anti-policy, anti-procedure style of idea people and business builders. Corporations want monthly reports, detailed expense accounts, personnel reviews on form paper, telephone logs, quarterly reports, year-end reports, 100-page annual business plans, contingency plans, and hundreds of other energy and time-draining requirements, none of which ring the cash register. Do not get paper-trapped. Do not accept your corporation's paper handcuffs. Monthly reports are stupid. They are long, boring, late, and examples of creative writing in ancient history. Don't write any. If they insist, rotate the authorship among everyone on your staff. Everyone. Each person should write what they want. Don't encourage the report writer to copy anyone, which saves copying and reading time. Don't bother reading them yourself. Also, don't write memos that rehash a meeting everyone just attended. Don't write trip reports, which are sophisticated expense account and job justifiers. And don't write anything that does not directly improve your company. 74. To teach is to learn and to lead. Always accept the chance to make a training presentation in your company. No matter what your job is, you can improve your company by teaching others what you do and what your staff does, why you do it, how you do it, and anything connected with your responsibility. If you're in finance or labor relations, teach the new salesperson about finance or labor relations. If you are responsible for advertising or market research, teach manufacturing people the ins and outs of television commercials and designing customer questionnaires. If you have to teach, you will prepare your presentation. Your preparation requires homework, organization, synthesis, and practice. The necessary study and discipline will help you master and add to your knowledge. Good preparation and practice will produce a good presentation. A good presentation will earn you a company-wide reputation as an expert in your job. You will also become familiar with many people in other areas of the company. You will create strong circles of influence. Teaching will improve your ability to articulate why your responsibility is critical to the company. Your audiences will come to believe that you are critical to the company. 75. Do not get discouraged by the idea killers. Companies are filled with idea killers. The idea killers come in all personalities, job titles, shapes, and sizes. The idea killers say such things as, "We've tried that before. Management won't buy it. We can't afford it." And 100 other anti-risk statements. One of the most common anti-action shots is the insufferable, "It won't work." This is particularly frustrating because it usually comes from people both senior and experienced in the company. The young people who don't know that something can't be done get frustrated. The do-nothings who work at fulfilling their prophecy nourish the status quo. During the oil embargoes of the 1970s and the subsequent pressure to increase the miles per gallon efficiencies of cars, one of the major automakers told its senior engineers to drastically reduce the weight of cars. The senior engineers, imprisoned in their old ways, said making lighter cars couldn't be done, was too expensive, and presented safety problems. So the car company hired lots of young, inexperienced engineers. The new engineers took hundreds of pounds of unnecessary weight off of their cars. They just didn't know any better. Don't give in. Don't let up. Idea people build businesses. Builders get to the top. Don't let the idea killers whittle you into mediocrity. Think boldly. Execute enthusiastically. Battle the inertia in the company. A little success will attract contributors and supporters from every corner of the company. Consider the idea killers as a positive, as an incentive. Treat their negativism as a reason to do more homework. Work harder on the things necessary to make your idea work. Thank you for listening to this program. Now, rewind the tape to one or two random sections. Do what you hear. You will be further on your way to becoming CEO.